Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends, and good day to you. It is so great to be able to have you join this podcast again, wherever you are, whatever day this is, wherever you are. Thanks so much for taking the time to hopefully do what we hope this is doing, and that is helping all of us to focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ and to grow as His followers and His disciples. And we're so glad we're starting a new series today. But before we jump into introducing that, as always, let's hear a word of welcome from my friend, my colleague, wonderful pastor, and a woman that always has good shoes. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I am just doing great. I am excited about nicer weather in August.
Can you believe this? Yeah. I mean, we went on vacation and we're, you know, out where it's a little bit cooler, but it was hotter there than it was in Oklahoma while we were gone.
I believe it, which is crazy because that just never happens. And we've had rain. That's amazing. Yeah. In August and July.
Just this morning, Robin said, "Well, it looks like it's cloudy again." And I said, "I never curse the rain in August."
Yeah. So. You just always say thank you for that. So yeah, it's good. And you know, I think what we're going to talk about today is just super timely because we're looking towards the future, and a lot of us just don't really know what's going to happen.
Right.
And it's just kind of unknown, and we don't want to live in fear, but we also know that God's calling us to face it with courage.
And a lot of people are living in fear. It's just hard to read the paper, watch the news, get online, or even talk to people and not see that people are just filled with fear and anxiety. And so that's why I think this is such a timely thing. So why don't you introduce this series? Maybe even tell a little people how you came up with the idea for this.
Sure. So, you know, several of these series for podcasts that we've been doing lately, we've been focusing on what we're preaching on Sunday morning, which is helpful to us because right now it's a little difficult to have special guests in with COVID and needing to social distance and things like that. So we are really just taking it as an opportunity to elaborate on what God has put on our hearts to be preaching on Sunday mornings. And so I came up with this series actually as kind of a, I hate to say it was an afterthought, but I had a different idea for this particular series before COVID started because I knew that there was a chance I'd be preaching a little bit towards the end of July into August.
Right.
So I had been praying about it earlier in the year, and honestly, I was going to do a series called Big Tent Revival, and I was going to get
which is a great band.
Yes, it is. That's very true. It's a great band. But I really wanted to focus on getting people back to church, getting people in church. Well, then COVID hit, and now that's a little bit different.
Whether they're here on site or online, we're just glad they're here.
Exactly. And so as I was praying through, you know, Jesus knows that none of these things have taken us by surprise. So I knew He had a plan of something else in mind. So as I was praying about it, I was very struck with the call to be brave.
Right.
That God, in all of His strength and all of His power and all of His might and all of His wisdom, gives us access to all those same things of Him. And that as we are in a time that is very uncertain, a little bit scary, it's not passing as quickly as we all had hoped. So what does that mean for the future? Well, God wants us to face the future with courage. That's what it means to be brave. And so we're looking each week in this sermon series of what God is giving us as tools in order to help us to be brave. And so this past Sunday, DA was gracious, let me kick off the series, and I focused a lot on bold faith. And we looked at the story of Peter stepping out of the boat.
Was there ever a more caricatured figure about boldness
than Peter? That is just really, really true. And so Peter is good at teaching us what to do and sometimes good at teaching us what not to do.
Right.
And so you can learn a lot from him.
Right. And so I think the story that you really focused on with Peter was the story of, we would always think of it as the story of Jesus walking on the water, but Peter is a key part of that sermon. So you talk about Peter asking if the figure on the water was Jesus, because when the disciples were in the boat, they were like, "Who is it?" In fact, I always, whenever I read that story, I remember my first year in seminary, I had a guy that was roommate older than I was. He was still an undergrad student. I was a grad student, but because he was older, he lived in grad student housing.
Yeah.
And it was around Halloween, and I asked him, you know, do you believe in ghosts? And at that time, I was like, you know, other than the Holy Ghost, I don't really believe in ghosts. But he said, well, you know, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, that was their question. Is he a ghost? And so, you know, Peter was like, well, is that Jesus or is that a ghost? And and Peter says, well, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And so you mentioned that it is important for us to ask God if what we're seeing or what we're experiencing really is from him or is it some kind of counterfeit? And the fact that you would question that, some people see as a lack of faith. So tell us why you think it's not a lack of faith. It is actually an expression of a bold faith.
And that's where I like it, that it's a little bit not what you would expect, because, you know, people think, oh, we should just never question. We should just never question God. We're just supposed to know. And that's what faith is. Well, you know, honestly, that's not true, because God recognizes the fact that we have limited knowledge. We're not going to know everything. And so in order for us to step out in bold faith, it's only smart and logical for us to say to God, okay, if that's really you, is this what you want me to do? The lack of faith comes when Jesus says, yes, I want you to, and then you don't do it.
Right.
You know, that's where you've got the problem. And I think it's really important lesson that Peter shows us, because they already were questioning if it was Jesus. And Jesus said, take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm here. And so they have this switch of like, okay, we were just terrified because we think it's a ghost, but now Jesus has identified himself. So then Peter kind of tests the waters.
Yeah.
No pun intended. And he says, okay, so if it's you, then tell me to do this.
Right.
And so then Jesus steps up to the plate and he says, yeah, do it. And so then Peter responds with a bold faith and he says, okay, I'm going to get out of the boat. So tell me your thoughts on this.
You know, I love this story. There are just so many things that come to mind. And one of them is, you know, we find ourselves in storms of life.
Yeah,
and,
all the time.
You know, just the physical picture I get is, you know, they're asking, is that Jesus?
Yeah.
Because they don't recognize who that
is.
It's
hard to see in a storm.
And I think that, you know, they're looking through the wind blowing the water and the waves crashing against the boat.
And
here comes somebody walking on water. Yet there's that part of me that thinks they were going, there ain't nobody doing that but Jesus.
You would hope
So is that Jesus? But what's interesting to me about Peter's response, the boldness of Peter's response is, first of all, we know he's the only one that gets out of the boat. The other 11 are probably like me. Jesus, get yourself in this boat right now.
What are you doing?
You know, we're about to die. Jesus, get in the boat.
Right.
I am, you know, Jesus, you come to me. You come rescue me.
And
Peter's like, okay, Lord. If that's really you, if you really are who I think you are, if you really are who I believe you are, then I will recognize your voice. I don't recognize your figure, but I recognize your voice. And so you bid me come. And when Jesus says, cool, you know, Peter, come on, bro. He recognized that voice and he has no doubt at all, which that's one of the things, again, that we worry about. Does doubt mean we're not bold? At this point, he doesn't have any doubt. He gets out of the boat and that's not me at all. I'm like, Jesus, get in the boat with me right now. And then when he gets in the boat, now, Jesus, you got to do something about this. I know you're always with me, but that ain't enough, Jesus. You got to speak to the wind and the wave, and you got to fix this thing.
Exactly. It's so true. Well, and I like in Peter's response that what we see is, okay, I'm going to go wherever Jesus is, because that's the thing.
See,
the boat may seem logical
point.
And safe
like that,
because you think, okay, if there's a storm, I'm going to get in the boat. Well, no, it's actually safer to be closer to Jesus.
Woo, preach it.
Even when it seems like it's not the most logical thing to do, but that's why you ask. That's why you say, okay, is this really you? So in the second part of the message, this part was really interesting to me, because
I was tapped in at this point. I'm like, if it's a 3-point sermon, here's 3 points right here.
I know, you could have just done that.
And you really couldn't even fully explain it. So I was all in.
Well, it was really interesting, because I thought to myself as I was preparing for the message, I thought, I just wonder what causes waves, because I don't ever do any study on marine anything. And so as I was looking that up, and these three main things came up as what causes waves. And of course, it's the surface winds, the winds blowing across the surface of the water. That made sense to me.
You can see that in your swimming pool at your house.
Exactly.
The wind blows across the little ripples.
Yeah, exactly. So that makes sense and easy to identify in our lives what those things are. But then you've got the submarine earthquakes. And if I'd have had 3 hours on Sunday morning, I would have gone in depth on this part, because when you have the earth shaking underneath the water, that's really going to cause the kind of waves that mess with you. And when you're thinking about your life, we do not often give credit to the submarine earthquakes in our life because we try to overlook them. And there are things like the way that you were raised. I mean, sometimes the ways that we were taught as children have good and bad in them, usually.
Right.
So for some people, it has a lot of bad. For some people, it has a lot of good. But you're going to have good and bad in those. And a lot of times, they cause ripples in your life that you don't recognize because you think that the way you were raised or the things that you were brought up with are just normal. But if you're living with someone who, like with your spouse, who was brought up totally differently, then you really clash, but you don't know why.
Right.
And so those things are interesting. Then you've got the offshore storms. And I loved this image because, you know, you got the storms rolling in. These are things that you know are going to pass in your life, but you still see them coming and they cause a lot of problems. And I think about the pandemic. Lord willing, the pandemic is going to pass.
It's
going to
pass.
But we have seen it cause a lot of problems and we see it rolling over us and it's really difficult to deal with. So what other things do you think about with that?
Well, again, going on what you just said, that's what we're all waiting for in the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know,
just want it to pass.
We want it to pass, but then the second wave.
Yeah.
Now,
wave.
The timing of this was so perfect for me. And I think this is why I locked in on this part of the sermon is, you know, just a few days before you're preaching on this, I'm at the ocean.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a big beach person, but when I go to the beach, I love to be out in the waves, and I love to float on them and ride on them, and I just had a wonderful time. My son Jonathan and I out riding the waves, and we would try to look out in the distance. Okay, here comes
the big one,
that we can ride, and it was so funny because when we think of waves, one of the things that we probably think of are the gentle, you know, ripples of water that lift us up and set us down. But I had this experience while we were at the beach because Jonathan and I are out there. And of course, a storm is coming. It's still a few days away, but the Hurricane Isaiah is coming up to Carolinas where we were.
Yes.
And so we're out there and the waves are perfect. The water's great.
Yeah.
And every now and then you'd get a really big wave that would just kind of mess with you. And it was fun. And so I'm out there and I had on a hat and I had on my sunglasses and we decided, okay, we're going to go back into the shore. And all of a sudden, I mean, this wave just wipes me out. It was so awesome.
No.
It crashes right on top of me. It grabs my hat. It takes my glasses. I'm able to grab my glasses and Jonathan goes, where are your hat? I'm like, it's right there. And so, you know, it wasn't a big deal because it wasn't a big way.
Right.
I mean, it was a big way, but it wasn't something that it wasn't going to take my life, but it might take my sunglasses.
Right.
So I think when we think of the surface winds, that's really probably what was causing those waves.
Yeah.
But here's something else that I was thinking about. One of the greatest classes I had in high school was physics.
Yeah.
It's the worst grade on my high school transcript. It convinced me God was not calling me to be an engineer.
Right.
And one of the things we studied was waves.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we had physics, they would say, now, in a vacuum where there aren't these external winds or coming storms or submarine earthquakes that are affecting all this, they said what happens is when a wave reaches the boundary, I would say, the shore, and it hits, what does that wave do?
It goes back.
It goes back, exactly. And it goes back at the same size that it came in.
Yeah.
And so when you talked about the, you called it the undercurrent.
Right.
That's the wave
returning.
And so when you get hit by one wave, when it passes, you think, oh, grab your sunglasses, grab your hat. Uh-huh. But the reality is you also have to be prepared for the wave when it's coming back. Mm-hmm. You think you're getting your footing, and know that undercurrent takes your feet out.
Yes.
And I think this is probably some of what Peter kind of experienced. Mm-hmm. He was walking on the water, and there's Jesus, and this is all good, and to all you other guys.
Yeah, to you guys in the boat.
but he looked at the wind and the waves, and he thought, oh, wait, this is going to come back on me.
Right, exactly.
And he lost focus, and he lost his faith at that point.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what happens to us in life, that sometimes the wave passes. Mm-hmm. We're just thankful it passes.
Yeah.
Perhaps the boldness of our faith says it's going to come back.
Yeah.
But this time, because it's an undercurrent, I will be on top of it.
Oh, interesting. Well, and when I was preaching, I really use this example as more of an idea of the undercurrent can carry you away. Usually it's considered a bad thing. But I really feel like, and people need to hear this, when you are saved, when you're a believer, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have an undercurrent of peace that runs all the time. And that is one of those things that you kind of have to tap into, because it's going to be water that's flowing a different direction from the rest of the water. And that's what peace does. It flows a different way, you know, than the water of the world. And the thing I love about what you just said is that with this undercurrent of peace is it flows directly from Jesus and it takes us back to him.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's that
I didn't even think of that.
Isn't that cool?
That's why you preach this sermon instead of me.
No, you're awesome.
That was awesome.
Well, I loved that imagery, though, because you have to kind of tap into that undercurrent. You've got to figure out the different way of the water of the world if you're really going to be able to continue walking, because that's where Peter got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Is he got distracted. He couldn't keep walking. We don't keep walking on the wind and the waves if we don't tap into what God is doing in that undercurrent of peace.
And I actually really love the fact that you talked about that undercurrent of peace. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, beware, here comes the second wave.
right.
Because with our children, you know, I mean, we're mountain people. We're not beach people.
Yeah.
So even with two teenagers going to the beach, it's like, okay, now remember the undertow is going to come and you're going to feel that, and it's going to be strong.
It's weird,
And the image I get in this, and again, you know, perhaps it's we're looking at this for the good images, is, you know, when got my hat knocked off, got my sunglasses off.
Yeah.
But at that point, we're in water that's up to, you know, almost my shoulders.
Yeah.
So we're in a little bit deeper water.
Right.
But as you get closer to the shore, mm-hmm. and you know, you're just trying to keep your balance and walk,
right.
One of the things you know, or one of the things I do anyway, and I see other people do, is whenever you know the undertow is about to come, you stop so you don't lose your balance.
Yes.
And what happens in that, and this is why I love the whole idea that what's coming back is peace, is because if you just stand there, what it does is the water rushes around your feet and ankles, it takes the sand away, and you actually begin to sink. And it's like, I'm getting more deeply rooted in this, so that I am unshakable.
So
I am immovable.
True.
And that's why, you know, it's like, does that make sense? No, it doesn't make a bit of sense.
But
that's how they describe peace.
The truth.
It is peace that passes our ability to understand it. It's a peace that, you know, passes our ability to make sense out of it.
Yep.
Because, and I just love what you said. If you said it Sunday, I missed it, but I'm so glad you said it now.
Yeah.
That which seeks to take us away from Jesus will return us to Jesus.
It's just so much truth in it.
And that's good stuff.
Yeah, it is really good stuff. So the other part that just really hit me, you know, it's funny when you're preaching a sermon, because a lot of times it just hits you even harder than it hits the people you're talking to. But one of the parts that really hit me was at the end. And, you know, I don't tend to like to use negative examples, but I do feel like Peter sometimes gives us that negative example so that we can learn from it. But as I was praying about this, I really felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, ask yourself the question, what would have happened had Peter not sunk? Because we love the idea that when we're sinking, we cry out to Jesus and he saves us, and that's a beautiful thing right there. But what would have happened if Peter would have kept walking? Because when they get back in the boat, Jesus says to Peter, he says, you have small faith.
Yeah.
Why did you doubt me? He doesn't say, great job, Peter. I'm so glad that when you fell down, you cried out to me. He doesn't commend him for any of it. He doesn't even say, hey, good job. You're the only one that got out of the boat. He doesn't say any of that.
Right.
He says,
that's what we do. We say all those other suckers stayed in the boat.
I know, right?
That was me. Yeah. That,
yeah.
Jesus, get over here.
Come on. Yeah. And so when we hear this from Jesus, it's like a wake-up call. It's like a sobering, if small faith gets me out of the boat and lets me walk on the water, then what does bold faith allow?
Yeah.
And so then we ask ourselves that question, and the Holy Spirit, when he was nudging me, I really felt like he was saying, you know, would Jesus have been able to teach him a greater lesson? Would he have been able to teach Peter how to calm the storm? Would he have inspired the other disciples to get out of the boat because they saw Peter's bold faith? Like, what did they miss out on that day? Because Peter didn't keep his eyes on Jesus.
Right.
So tell me your thoughts.
I love this idea. I mean, it's pure speculation. This is all guess.
It is.
But when I was thinking, what would happen if Peter hadn't gotten distracted and he and Jesus had gotten back in the boat? And my first thought was he would have been incredibly hard to live with.
You know, that's true.
Peter was. He was bold. He was impulsive. He was the guy that spoke first and, you know, oftentimes probably wrote checks with his mouth that he couldn't cash because he didn't have the subject.
So true.
He would have been really hard to live with. You know, I would imagine Peter as an old man sitting in a rocking chair with his grandchildren. Well, let me tell you about the time I walked on water with Jesus. And as I thought about that, I thought that becomes then the defining experience of his life.
Right.
And, of course, if our listeners know the story of Peter and know, you know, he denies Christ and then he's restored.
Got a lot going on.
And then he really, God uses that boldness when we read the book of Acts, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have any money to give you, rise up and be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
and a man
boom.
Walks. I think in some ways it is so wonderful that Peter walking on water was not the legacy story of his life.
Right, yeah, true.
And so the question is, then why is this story so popular? Why is this? Well, because Jesus was walking on water.
Ooh,
You know, he didn't have any rocks that he was walking on or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a real deal.
So what is Peter's legacy out of this? And this is what I imagine. Again, it's just speculation. Mm-hmm. Is had Peter lived a long life and had grandchildren and sitting in his rocking chair on his porch talking to them, He would have said, let me tell you about the time I walked on water.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. You know, I just wanted to taunt all the other guys in the boat because they were chickens. And, you know, I got out and I walked on water. And all anybody remembers is that I got distracted and I looked at wind and I looked at waves and I began to sink. And it was a pretty bleak situation. This was not a gentle rainstorm. Mm-hmm. This was a violent storm that even being in the boat was dangerous.
Yeah.
But you know what I learned that day? I mean, we all know this now because it's so clear, but we didn't know it then. But here's what I can tell you today. Jesus saves. And that's really the legacy of Peter's life. After Jesus ascends to the Father, after he is filled with the Holy Spirit, this is the message that he tells. And if somebody had ever come to argue, and Scripture doesn't tell us these things, but if someone had ever say, how do you know Jesus really saves? Let me tell you about the time I walked on water and it didn't go so well. And Jesus saved me, and Jesus got me back in the boat. And he didn't pat me on the back and say, hey, good try, the rest of you suckers. No, what Jesus did was he said, Peter, your faith is not where it needs to be. You've got boldness.
Yeah,
I love your boldness. That's how I created you to be.
Yeah,
but now I need that boldness to apply to your faith.
To connect to your faith.
So, and what we see is that could have been a humiliating experience for Peter.
Right.
That could have been, it's just Peter, you know, he thinks he can walk on water.
Right.
And no, instead, he continues to rise as a leader among God's people because he was unafraid to do something, even if it didn't work out the way that he had hoped it would.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I had a professor in seminary that used to say, he goes, I want to be doing something for Jesus when Jesus comes back, even if it's making a mistake, because I'm not sitting by doing nothing.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a boldness of faith, is I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah.
I may not get it right.
Yeah.
May not work out the way I thought it was going to work out. But what I learned is Jesus saves. I never really got disconnected with Jesus. In fact, in that moment, I was a lot more dependent upon him than I ever had been dependent on anyone in my life. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's cool. It's super cool. I'm just really excited about this whole series. I'm excited that we get to talk about Samson this coming week and radical strength and how God gives us that. We're going to have a lot of fun. We got a special guest coming to be singing, the guy who played Samson in Sight and Sound's theater production of it in Branson. It's just going to be
an amazing Sunday. I think there's a word from the Lord for us, and I'm excited about it.
It's going to be so good. And next week on our podcast, we will also be talking about Samson. So it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Well, friends, one of the things, again, that we always hope is that these podcasts do encourage you in your relationship with Jesus Christ and how you might trust him as Savior and live with him as the Lord of your life. And sometimes we are like Peter. We just boldly jump out of the boat, and we just, you know, think I can do anything, and we learn, well, I still need to depend on Jesus.
Yeah.
But I think for most of us, we are those people that are in the boat, and we would never do that. And the thing I would say is a good book title was, you know, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat.
Gotta get out of the boat.
And the thing I would encourage you with is boldness is not necessarily just impetuous, irresponsible, mm-hmm. knee-jerk reaction behavior. Mm-mm. Boldness of faith for some of you would simply be, I need to get my children back in church.
Mm-hmm.
I need to invite my neighbor to start watching online, mm-hmm. or maybe to start listening to these podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
For some of you, maybe that's uncomfortable. You know, some people aren't very social, and just being social can be bold.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways you can be bold. But as we look toward the uncertainty of the future, whether it's during a time of pandemic or any other time mm-hmm. in our lives, there's a rhythm to life that we expect things, but it's never really promised.
Yeah.
And the boldness of our faith, I think, comes in living in that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And if you don't know how to do that, we would love to be able to talk more with you about that. You can always contact Pastor Stephanie mm-hmm. or myself through our church website, saokc.org. And of course, our worship right now is, we do have it on site. You have to wear a mask. We do ask people to socially distance.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is threatening to you or uncomfortable to you, thank the Lord that we have that opportunity for online mm-hmm. worship, 10:30 on Facebook Live or on our YouTube channel. It's always a blessing to be able to share with you. We're looking forward to connecting with you again soon, and we pray God's blessings upon you on this day. Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.